like how the songwriter called it, home. That's what it's going to be, home. It's always good to go home. Nothing like what's the old saying? There's no place like home. Can I tell you, one day that's going to be home. We're just strangers and we're pilgrims. We're just passing through. But one day, we're going to be home. Praise the Lord for that truth. Amen. Thank y'all for that song. We're in the Sermon on the Mount again tonight. And I was thinking about moving on past this verse of Scripture into verses 13 and on. But I could not get past verse number 12. I mentioned it, if you'll remember, last week. At the end of my message, I mentioned verse 12, and I said we may look at it again next week. And at that time, I thought I possibly would not, but it's just too much truth in this verse to skip over it. I do believe after Brother Ouellette's with us, I'm thinking three or four more messages, and we will finish up the Sermon on the Mount. So my goal is to be done with the Sermon on the Mount by Bible school, and so we'll see if I succeed. Amen. Did you see the banner up, or the, what do you call those things? Slide, right? On the screen today about Bible school. How many of you seen that? Right? We haven't mentioned much about Bible school, but we're gearing up. We're getting our decorations together. We've been talking with Brother Allen. There it is. Level up. These guys are on the ball, man. I like that, right? Level up. That's our VBS theme this year. For those of you that were born before 1980, it's a Mario theme, okay? And so that's going to be the theme this year. We're going to have a lot of fun with that. I believe our captains are excited about it. And so Marcus is the green. I'm wondering, he said he was going to be Luigi, but I think he looks more like Yoshi. I don't know. But Brother Phillip's the red team captain, so Mario's going to try to win this thing. But we'll see. Brother Brian said he's got different thoughts about that, but we'll be gearing up for Vacation Bible School here in the next couple weeks. Believe it or not, it's upon us. And so after Brother Ouellette's here, the following week we'll be decorating for Vacation Bible School. I sound like David Childs. if everything goes smoothly, the first week of June we'll have our Vacation Bible School decorations up, and we'll be getting geared up for Vacation Bible School. So you've been telling people, inviting them. I think the dates are the 17th or somewhere along in that, always the same week. And we're just looking forward to a good week of Vacation Bible School. I did want to make that announcement as we get into the message tonight. So I want to look tonight at what's known as the Golden Rule. Many of us know, if I were to ask you what the Golden Rule is, you would know that's what this passage of Scripture has been labeled as. I looked up why it's called that, and most research that you do, you'll find that it comes from an emperor, I believe Alexander, a Roman emperor, that had this verse of Scripture on the walls in his chamber, and that's where they got the phrase "the gold." It was in gold on the walls of his chamber, and that's where the name "the Golden Rule" come from. I'm not sure if that's so, but that's what most research will tell you if you look it up. Whether it is or not, it definitely is a valuable principle to live by. This truth that we're going to look at tonight, gold is a valuable commodity, right? And I believe the reason this is called the Golden Rule is because this is a valuable principle in which we should live our lives by. And so we're going to look at that tonight. As we do, I just want to look at a couple things. I don't have many points tonight, but I want to look at first the connection, right? The connection. Verse number 12 says, therefore. Anytime you see the word therefore, it's good to see what it's there for. Right? It connects it to something else. And I mentioned it last week in my message, so I won't re-preach last week's message, but I do believe that, I personally believe, it could be connected to two things in the Sermon on the Mount. And one of those things, I believe, is what Jesus just said in verse number 11. Let's look at that, verse 11. He said, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him. And then he goes on to say, therefore. I think you could connect the therefore, right? You could connect that therefore to the Father. And that's what I preached about last week. We talked about prayer, but before we talked about prayer, we talked about the Father, right? Our Father. If you'll remember, we looked at how that our Father, we looked at his character, who he is. Aren't you glad who your God is? He's just a God of character. Right? And we could go on and preach for months on the character of God, the attributes of God, who he is. He's good, right? He's gracious. He's holy. And we could go on and on about God's character. And so I believe that this verse could be connected to the Father, to His character, to His consistency. He's always the same, yesterday, today, and forever. God does not change, right? Aren't you glad that God doesn't change? We change, right? Men change, but God never changes. And God is consistent. Jesus has been teaching about hypocrisy, people that are one way in some times and another way at other times. They're hypocrites. They're actors, right? They change face. They're one way here and they're another way there. But God is not that way. He's not a hypocrite. God is the same always. And so the Father, His character, His consistency, but even more so, His concern or His care. Look at verse 11 again. How much more, right? How much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him? He's using that analogy of an earthly father, how that an earthly father will give things to his child that he asks for because he loves them, because he cares about them, because he's concerned for them. And he says, how much more, right? How much more shall your Father in heaven give good things to his children if they ask him? And then he goes on to say, therefore, right? Because of who your Father is, because of how your Father is, because of His goodness, because of His grace, because of His character, because of His consistency, because of His care, He says, you should do unto others, right? Look at verse 12. Therefore, because of who your Father is, therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. And so you say, why? What is the connection between the golden rule? Well, there's a connection to the Father. He says, because of how good your Father is, you ought to be that way to others. Because of how God treats you, it ought to affect how you treat others. I think it's very clear that that could be a connection here. But I think there's another connection outside of the Father, not just the Father. I did write down a verse here, and we could go look at a lot of verses, but Ephesians 4:32 says this, and be ye kind one to another. Right? Tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. That's that same principle. God's forgiven you, you ought to forgive others. God is kind to you, you ought to be kind to others. God is tenderhearted to you, you ought to be tenderhearted to others. Right? And so because of our Father, therefore, we ought to do to others the way that we want them to do to us. And we'll get into the content here in a minute. Right now, we're looking at the connection. So the connection of the Father. I think that's a principle that's being taught here. But I think there's another connection. I think there's not just the connection of the Father. I think there's the connection of fulfillment. Okay? The connection of fulfillment. You say, where do you get that from, Brother Dave? Well, look at verse 12. Therefore, all things, whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. And look at what he says. For this is the law and the prophets. I want to slow down a little bit because I get in a hurry sometimes. And I've been studying this and I've been meditating on it and I've been looking at it and I don't want to lose you. But I think that Jesus made that statement may connect back to another statement that he made in the Sermon on the Mount. If you would, go back to chapter number 5 and look at verse number 17. Now, you won't remember this probably because we've spent about 4 or 5 months, maybe no longer than that, way longer than that. I started the Sermon on the Mount the week we got back from vacation last year. So that was in September, right? So it's been 6, 7 months ago, right? When we were looking at this chapter number 5, if you would remember, and I look back at my notes today, I remembered and looked back to confirm it, but in verse number 17 of chapter number 5, when we got to that verse where it says this, Jesus said, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, look at what he says, but to fulfill. So you see the law and the prophets here, right? Jesus said, on this is the law and the prophets in chapter 7, verse 12. He said, this is the law and the prophets. Chapter 5 and verse number 7, he said, I didn't come to destroy the law and the prophets. I came to fulfill the law and the prophets. I think there's a connection. I said when we were looking at chapter number 5 and verse number 17 that, as our pastor would say, I believe verse number 17 is the crux. You with me? The crux of the message. You say, what is the crux? That is the central teaching, right? That is the core of what Jesus is teaching here. Now, there's a lot of teachings in the Sermon on the Mount, but I believe at the very core of what he is teaching is that he didn't come to destroy the law and the prophets. He came to fulfill the law and the prophets. And we talked about how he was correcting their thinking. He said, think not. You're thinking wrong. You think that I came to destroy the law and the prophets, but I did not come to destroy. I came to fulfill. And then we looked at how he corrected their teaching, and we got into the Sermon on the Mount, the middle part. I wish I knew English. This is one time, Pastor Brandon, I wish I would have paid attention in English, right? Because I could diagram this for you, right? So Jesus kind of gave an introduction with the Beatitudes, and he kind of closed out that introduction with verse number 16, where he said that, verses 13 through 16, he said, you're the salt of the earth. Right? You're the light of the world. He was kind of given an illustration of what the Christian is, what the kingdom child of God is. And then in verse number 17, it's as if he got out of his introduction and he began into the body of his message. Am I using the right terminology here? Okay. I hope so. He got into the body of the message. Right? So he introduced his subject. And then in verse 17, I believe it says this, he made his thesis statement. There you go. I think that's what it's called, right? He said, this is what it's about. This is what I'm teaching. And now we're coming down to the end of the sermon. And I personally believe after tonight, not next week, but the following week, Lord willing, as we get into these last verses of Scripture, these very well-known verses of Scripture, it's as if Jesus is closing, right? He's kind of concluding his body now in verse number 12. That's what I believe. And then verse number 13 to the end of his message, I believe, is kind of the conclusion. It's where Jesus is going to kind of, he's going to give them a decision. He's going to talk about the two ways, the broad way and the narrow way. He's going to talk about the two trees, the good tree and the corrupt tree. He's going to talk about the two foundations, the foundation that's a strong foundation, and that foundation that's on sifting sand, right? And so Jesus is kind of going to close out his message. But before he does, he's kind of closing out the thought, I believe, that he began back in chapter 5 and verse number 17. So I'm trying to give you the connection. I told you I wanted to take my time. My message in itself, it's not near as long as my introduction is tonight. And I know you don't believe that, but it's so, okay? And so we're connecting the dots here. Jesus, I think there's the connection of the Father, but I believe there's the connection of fulfillment. Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy the law and the prophets. I came to fulfill the law and the prophets. Now look back at chapter 7 one more time, verse 12. He said, therefore, because of your father, maybe therefore because of everything that I've said to you since chapter 5, verse 17. You see what I'm saying? It could be a dual connection here. It's just one running thought. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. And then he makes a statement, for this is the law and the prophets. There's got to be a connection. Jesus making this statement has got to connect back to verse 17, chapter number 5. I just cannot see where there's not a connection here. I believe there's a connection. What is that connection? Well, I believe it's this. I think Jesus is saying to these people the same thing that he said in Matthew chapter number 22. Turn to Matthew 22, if you would, real quick. Matthew chapter number 22. The same crowd that Jesus, I believe, was in some ways rebuking in his Sermon on the Mount. He was teaching his disciples, but at the same time, he was exposing the Pharisees and the scribes that were there in the crowd. He talked about them numerous times throughout the Sermon on the Mount. Here they are in verse number 34 of chapter number 22. It says, but when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, how about that, asked him a question tempting him, and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Verse 37, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. There's that phrase again. The law and the prophets. So Jesus said, this is upon these two statements. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Just love God and love your neighbor as yourself. That is what the whole Old Testament law and prophets is hanging on. You understand? You with me? He said, that's how you fulfill it. You fulfill the law by loving God and loving your neighbor as yourself. Does Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, do unto others as you would have them do unto you? Does that not sound very similar? I think it sounds very similar. Paul said it like this. I'm going to have you turn there in Galatians chapter 5, verse 14. Paul said it like this right into the Galatians. He said, for all the law, listen to me, all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's pretty strong language, Paul. James, in the book of James, he said it like this in James chapter 2 in verse number 8. He said, if ye fulfill, there's that word fulfill again. If ye fulfill the royal law, we call it the golden rule. Maybe we ought to call it the royal law. That's what James called it. He said, if ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. That's what James said. So James said, you fulfill the law by loving your neighbor as you love yourself. Paul said in the book of Galatians, he said, all the law is fulfilled, there's our word again, in this one word. Paul's a preacher, right? One word. Love your thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, right? I got one point. Y'all didn't get that? Paul said one word and he used about eight. I got one point, but it's going to be about eight subpoints, right? He said one word, right? Paul said one word. Love your neighbor as yourself, and you fulfilled the law. You say, but Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22 that it was love God. That's the first and great commandment. And love your neighbor like yourself, and on this hangs all the law and the prophets. Most commentators will say that this is In Matthew chapter number 7, that in the second part of Matthew 7, that's where you're at, verse number 12, most commentators will tell you that the second part of that where it says, for this is the law and the prophets, will say that this is talking about the second table of the Ten Commandments. Right? You with me? The first table, Godward. The second table, manward. Jesus taught on those in the Sermon on the Mount. He talked about committing adultery. He talked about murder, right? He talked about lying. You remember that? So some people would say, well, this is the second table of the law. I'm not going to say it's not, but I'm going to say this. I would consider this thought. It may carry both. You say, how do you get that, Brother David? I want you to turn to 1 John real quick. 1 John, and then I'm going to get into to my last point, and I'm not going to be long. Turn to 1 John. Y'all don't pay no attention. That's just a habit. It's a bad one. I'm trying to kick it. Y'all pray for me. 1 John. Look at chapter number 2. I'm going to look at a couple verses. I could go to a lot of verses of Scripture to try to present to you what I'm presenting tonight. But look at 1 John chapter number 2. Look at verse number 9. It says, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. Verse 10 says, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness. Go to chapter number 3. Chapter 3, look at verse number 10. 1 John chapter 3, verse 10. It says this, in this the children of God are manifest. I think that that's who Jesus is talking about in the Sermon on the Mount. Some people don't believe that. I believe he is. He's talking about the kingdom children, the children of God, right? Look at verse number 10. He says this, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. You see it? He said love one another. Look at verse number, let's go down to verse number 17, for sake of time. Verse 17 says, but whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, look at this. Let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. Go to chapter 4, and I believe this one will... Well, look at verse number 23 real quick, chapter number 3. Look at verse 23. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Right? You see it? God, Jesus said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I think Jesus is saying it like this. Love one another. Love one another. Look at chapter 4. Look at verse number 19. I think this one really sums it up. Chapter 4, verse 19. This is where I'm going to try to connect the dots here. For with what Jesus said, and with what Paul said, and with what James said. Chapter 4, verse 19. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, loveth his brother also. Go back to Matthew chapter 7. Are you following what I'm saying? Jesus is saying in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, I'm not saying 100% this is what he's saying, but some people say that when he said, this is the law and the prophets, he's only talking about that second table. I believe he could be talking about both of them. Because you're not going to love your neighbor if you don't love God. Didn't I just prove that to you from 1 John? You cannot love, if you don't love your neighbor, Jesus said, how dwelleth the love of God in you? So if you love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, then the direct result of that love is to love your neighbor. Are you following what I'm saying? I think I proved that from the scripture. If we love God the way we're supposed to love God, with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, the direct result of loving God is loving my neighbor. And if I don't love my neighbor, then you know what that's saying? I don't love God. That's what Jesus said. That's what John said. Jesus even said it in John. In the book of John, Jesus made some statements very similar. He said, by this shall all men know that you're to my disciples, that you have love one for another. He said, how dwelleth the love of God in you if you keep not my commandments? If you do not what I say, you can't love God. So when we love God, we're just automatically going to love one another. And so I think in chapter number 7 and verse number 12, the connection here is our connection to the Father. Our Father is a good Father. He's a gracious Father. His character is spotless. He's consistent. He cares. And because of our Father, we ought to be that way. But I think it goes beyond that. It's because of fulfillment of the scriptures. If we love God, then we're automatically going to love our neighbor. It is a direct result of loving God. And so I think that the golden rule is connected to our Father, but I think it's also connected to fulfillment that Jesus spoke of in verse 17. He said, I've come not to destroy the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them. How are you going to fulfill the law and the prophets? By loving God and loving your neighbor. And can I tell you, there's only one way to do that? With his help. I meant to say this. I think I got it wrote here in my notes somewhere. Some people will try to take this verse of scripture and they'll try to make this a work salvation passage, right? But there's no way you can do that because he said, therefore, right? Because of your Father. If you're not one of his children, it doesn't apply to you, right? You got to be God's child in order for this commandment, this golden rule, this principle that Jesus is teaching to apply to you. So people that say, oh, I'm going to get to heaven by treating others. And there's a lot of people that believe that. You do understand that, right? There's a lot of people that if you were to ask them, how do you plan to get to heaven? They will say something along these lines. Well, I try to do unto others as they would do unto me. I try to treat people the way I want to be treated. I can't tell you the times that I've witnessed to someone and they say, I'm a pretty good person. I try to treat people the way I want to be treated. That's what I thought before I got saved. Before I got saved, if you would have asked me, if you're going to heaven, are you ready to go to heaven? I would have told you, I don't know if I'm going to heaven, but I know this, I'm not really a bad person, even though I really was. But I didn't think I was. But I'd say, I'm not really a bad person, and I don't do anything to hurt anybody else. I might do stuff to hurt myself, but I'm not out to hurt anybody else. And that's what a lot of people think is going to get them to heaven. But Jesus said, this doing unto others as you would have them do unto you, that's not for lost people, that's for my children. That's for people that have a heavenly Father. And so you can't use this verse of Scripture as a work salvation verse of Scripture. So we see, number one, the connection. Now I want to look at the content and we'll be done. The content. What is being taught here? What's being taught in the golden rule? I want to make it very clear that I believe this is a principle and it's not, we must not take it and be like the Pharisees and corrupt it, right? You remember we were looking at those teachings that Jesus went through after he made that statement in chapter 5, verse number 17? If you'll remember back in the Sermon on the Mount, you remember what Jesus said? He gave them some precepts. He said, the law says, you have heard that it hath been said. You with me? Thou shalt not do this, but I say unto you. And you know what Jesus said? He said, what you say is correct, but it's been corrupted. And you know what? If we're not careful, we'll take a verse like this. And I want to make this very clear before I give my last two thoughts and I'm done. If we're not careful, we'll take this verse of Scripture and we will corrupt it. This is a principle, okay? You could get really out of line if you try to make this a commandment or a precept to live by. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I could walk around saying, well, you know, I would really like for, you know, I could murder somebody and say, you know what, I'd really not like to go to jail, and so they should not make me go to jail for murder. You understand what I'm saying? That would be corrupting this principle, okay? God does not contradict himself, okay? So you can't take, well, do unto others as you would have them do unto you and corrupt it and make it something that is contrary to what God teaches. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So we can't corrupt this principle, but we can live by it. And I think we should live by this principle. I want to give you something that one man said about this. I believe that the content of this principle is an attitude, right? It has to do with an attitude. We should view other people the way that we want to be viewed. You'll remember the Pharisees had the attitude that they were better than everyone else. You know that, right? They had the attitude, they looked down their nose at everyone else. And Jesus has been hitting them pretty hard about that attitude, that self-righteous attitude that they had. And they would walk into the markets, and we know the story, and we're even in the book of Matthew where Jesus talked about that publican and that Pharisee that went up to the temple, and that Pharisee looked down at that publican. He said, I'm glad I'm not like he is, a sinner. I tithe, I do this, I do that. I'm not like this old publican, right? He had a bad attitude. And so Jesus, when he says that we're to do unto others as we would have them do unto us, I believe that the content of the golden rule has to do with an attitude. We should have the right attitude. You know, that's what James is talking about when he mentions the royal law. You ought to go home and read James chapter number 2. You know what James is talking about? He's talking about people coming into the synagogue, coming into the church, and they come in there and they've got their nice apparel, and it's obvious that they've got some money, and they would treat them better than they would treat other people. And James is rebuking them, and he's saying, hey, don't have preference for this one and that one, right? He's saying, don't have an attitude towards this person and have a different attitude toward this person. You ought to treat everybody the same. Are you with me? That's the attitude that's in the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. If you want somebody to look at you as their equal and not look down at you, then you ought to look at others as your equal and not look down at them. This is hard preaching, okay? It really, when we start trying to live it in our own lives, it's real hard. I said a minute ago I was going to say this. One man said about this golden rule, he said that we should sit down and make a list. No, he said we should never ask for something that we wouldn't give to someone else. I think that's the way he said it. You chew on that a little bit. We should never ask for something that we wouldn't give to someone else. Jesus said in verse number 12, he said, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even so to them. So he said, you shouldn't desire something from someone that you wouldn't give to someone. Does that make sense? If you wouldn't give it to somebody else, you shouldn't want it. That's basically what Jesus is saying here. So it's an attitude, right? I think all this goes back to what was taught in 1 John, what Jesus taught in Matthew 22, and it goes back to this, love. That's the golden rule. I really believe it all has to do with love. I looked up a verse of scripture that's very familiar to you, and I only wanted to give part of it, but I couldn't. I'm going to read the whole thing to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that great chapter on charity. You know what Paul said when he wrote that? He said, if I have not charity, he said, I'm just sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. He said, nothing I do is going to really matter if I have not charity. It's all pointless if I have not charity. He said this in verse number 4, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things, and goes on to say, charity never faileth. You see, it's an attitude. I really believe the golden rule has to do with an attitude. Do we love people the way that we want to be loved? You see that in charity suffereth long? It's patient. That's a patient attitude. It's kind. That's got to do with an attitude. It envieth not. It's not jealous. Has to do with our attitude, right? And so love, it's an attitude. The golden rule has to do with an attitude, but I believe it does more than just an attitude. It has to do with action. Look at chapter 7. Look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 12 again. Therefore, all things, whatsoever you would, I mean, that's heavy. All things. You ought to underline that. All things. Jesus said, all things. That's a heavy load right there. Therefore, all things. And then he follows all things up with whatsoever. He's not giving us an out on this. Ye would. That means that you would desire, that you want, that men should do to you. Do ye even so to them. I see the word do in there twice. That's an action. So the golden rule has to do with an attitude. I'm convinced of that. How we view other people, how we look at other people, how we approach others, we ought to have an attitude towards others that we have, that we would want them to have to us. You understand? If somebody falls into sin, I shouldn't say falls into sin, if somebody gets into sin, you know what you ought to do? You know what I ought to do? I ought to have an attitude towards that person that I would want them to have to me. You understand? I think it could go in all things whatsoever. You ought to have the attitude towards other people. I'm not talking about, don't corrupt the principle. I'm not talking about compromise. Okay? I already tried to clarify that. I'm not talking about approving of sin. I'm talking about an attitude. We ought to view other people the way we want to be viewed. We ought to look at them and have a heart towards them with the same kind of heart we would want people to have towards us. And you can probably go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and find out what kind of heart that is. One that suffers long. One that's kind. One that envieth not. One that's not puffed up. Proud. Right? And so I think it's an attitude, but I think it goes beyond an attitude. It's an action. It's an action. You know, I tell my kids, and I'm almost done. I tell my kids, don't treat people the way you don't want to be treated. And that's true. But that's passive. What Jesus said is active. You understand that, right? A lot of people think the golden rule says this. A lot of people read it like this. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should not do to you, do not even so to them. That's the way a lot of people read the golden rule, or that's the way they quote it. Don't treat people in a way that you don't want to be treated. That's what they would say. You say, what's wrong with that, Brother David? Nothing. Nothing wrong with that. But what Jesus said goes beyond that. You do see that, right? See, that's passive. That's don't do something to someone that you don't want done to you. And that's good. You shouldn't do to others stuff that you don't want done to you. But can I tell you, that's a lot easier to do than to do to others. That's active. Not doing is passive. It's I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to treat them that way because I don't want to be treated that way. But doing unto someone the way that you would have them do unto you is not being passive. It's being active. It's putting action to it. It's doing something for someone that you would want done for you. You understand what I'm saying? That you could apply this principle in so many areas of life. Our kids go out here after church, and I'm not picking on our kids tonight. It's just a good illustration, and I'd rather pick on them than y'all because they're smaller. But I'm just saying, the kids go outside after church. You say, you know what? Don't be mean. Don't pick on somebody out there if you don't want to be picked on. But it goes beyond that. You know what? You ought to go out there, and you ought to do to others what you want done to you. You know what that means? If you want somebody to pick you to be on the basketball team, you ought to pick them to be on the basketball team. You want somebody to invite you to play volleyball, you ought to invite them to play volleyball. You understand what I'm saying? And we could just apply this to every area of our life. We ought to do to others the way that we would have them do unto us. What we want from other people, that's what we ought to do for other people. It's an action. So Jesus said the golden rule is an attitude, but it's also an action. You know, this is not a hard thing to understand. It's really easy, actually. Like, you can try to skirt around it and make it say something it doesn't, but it's very clear what it says. Mark Twain said this. I thought this was good. I believe it was Mark Twain. Mark Twain said, it's not the difficult passages to understand that disturb him. It's the easy ones. Did you catch that? He said, it's not the difficult passages that disturb me, the ones I can't understand. It's the ones I can understand that disturb me. This is one of those. What Jesus is saying here is very clear. I'm going to read two things to you, and I'm going to be done. I want to read this statement to you from two men that I read after. One man said this. He said, according to the religious luminaries, Moses, James, Paul, and Jesus, the entire aim of the law as it bears on our relationship to one another is that we are to treat people like we would want to be treated. And no matter how much else of God's law that you follow in relation to other people, if you miss this, you have missed the whole point. If an employer honestly pays his employees strictly what is owed to them, but meanwhile soaks them for all they are worth, he has missed the point of the law. Are you listening? I know it's hard to listen when somebody's reading. I promise you, I'm going to read this and one other thing and I'm done. So listen closely. This is good stuff. If a wife conscientiously, I should have read that before I read it to you, right? If a wife conscientiously, don't laugh at me, Curtis, strives to obey, I don't teach here at FBA, just so y'all know, strives to obey her husband in all things, but treats him with coldness and distance while doing so, she has missed the point of the law. You understand that, right? Who does that remind you of? The Pharisees. They followed the law to the letter of the law, but they missed the point of the law. They missed the principle of the law. They missed what fulfilled the law. Loving their neighbor as their self. Oh, they kept the law. They tried to keep every rule of the law perfect, but they missed the whole principle behind the law. And Jesus said, the principle behind the law is to love God and love your neighbor. And if you don't do that, you're missing it. He said, if the pastor... I'm not even going to try to say that word, fulfills each and every scriptural requirement in 1 Timothy chapter number 3, but does not genuinely love his people, he has missed the point of the law. If a child, listen children, if a child obeys his parents down to the fine detail, but inwardly cultivates a heart full of rebellion toward them, all the while counting down the hours and the minutes to his freedom, he has missed the whole point of the law. The law is not a contract that must be followed to the letter. It is an eternal breathing organism that must be lived. Tell me not how much Bible you read, how much you give to missions, how many souls you win to Christ, how many church services you attend, how much theology you understand, how separated your lifestyle is. If you do not at the same time love your neighbor as yourself, this is the entire point of the law as it pertains to interpersonal relationships. Did you catch that? It doesn't matter how many rules we keep and how good we know and how many verses we can quote if we don't love our neighbor. Because God said, Jesus said, if you don't love your neighbor, you don't love God. And I know I'm preaching to a group of people that love their neighbor, but can I tell you, I could love them a little better. I need this. I need to have the right attitude toward others. I need to have the right action towards others. Because Jesus said, this is the law and the prophets. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You know what you do to yourself? Good things, because you love yourself. Paul talked about that in another place in Ephesians. He said, you know, you love yourself, right? We all love ourselves. Well, Jesus said, do unto others as you would do unto yourself. You love yourself, then love others. That's what he's saying. Last thing I'll read and I'm done. How many know Spurgeon? You know Charles Spurgeon? This is what Spurgeon said about this verse of Scripture. And I'm going to close my Bible and I'm going to give the invitation. You can stand to your feet. Thank you for your attention. This is what Spurgeon said about this verse of Scripture. He said, this is the sum of the Decalogue, the Pentateuch, the whole sacred word. Oh, that all men acted on it. And then there would be no slavery, no war, no sweating, no striking, no lying, no robbing, but all would be justice and love. What a kingdom is this which has such a law? This is the Christian code. This is the condensation of all that is right and generous. We adore the King out of whose mouth and heart such a law could flow. This one rule is a proof of the divinity of our holy religion. The universal practice of it by all who call themselves Christians would carry conviction to Jew, Turk, and infidel with greater speed and certainty than all the apologies and arguments which the wit or piety of men could produce. Lord, teach it to me. I'm sorry. He said, Lord, teach it to me with exclamation point. Write it on the fleshly tablets of my renewed heart. Write it out in full in my life. Exclamation point. I think Spurgeon got it. He said, if we just would love people the way we love ourselves, if we would just do to others what we would have them, not what they do. See, that's an eye for an eye. Jesus already covered that in the Sermon on the Mount. Not do unto others as they do unto you. Do unto others as ye would they do unto you. If we would live our lives that way, how much better our homes would be. How much better our churches would be. How much better our country would be. How much better our world would be if we really lived out that royal law, that golden rule, that fulfillment of the law and the prophets, loving our neighbor as ourselves. You know, Paul said in Galatians, when he said, even this one word, love thy neighbor as thyself. That's verse 14. I think verse 16, he said, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Can I tell you, we can't do that in the flesh. If we're going to love people the way we're supposed to, if we're going to do unto others what we would have them do unto us, we have got to walk in the Spirit. We've got to let God guide our lives, because in ourselves, we're not going to love people the way we're supposed to. The pianist will begin to play. You can bow your heads and close your eyes and